We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that, but we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
I don't think we have to go into shutdown mode.
In the meantime, my administration's exploring executive actions to provide protections against eviction.
No matter where they are on the rung or the ladder of success, they still have their whiteness.
I'm calling for the abolishment of history classes in Illinois.
Joe Biden and the radical left support abortion on demand.
He's now decided that he wants to be the second cousin of Bernie Sanders.
Senator
just a
Kennedy.
Second cousin. That's it, you know.
Just a distant cousin. Yeah, yeah. One that's got to uphold the family value of socialism, basically, is what the senator was saying there about hiding Joe Biden. Hey, glad you're back with us. It is Thursday, and boy, we've been busy this morning. Lots going on. Still talking about the fallout from the primary election on Tuesday. The new St. Louis squad held a news conference yesterday together down on the Arch grounds. And we'll get to coverage on more of that this morning. And it's interesting to hear who Kim Gardner is blaming for her opposition. Now, she won by 60% of the vote in the primary in St. Louis on Tuesday, but she's still mad at a handful of people who dared to criticize the job she's done as circuit attorney in this city. So we're going to get to all that for you coming up. The soundbite you heard there in the middle of the shortlist, I just want to mention this very quickly, is from a Chicago area state rep named Ford is his last name, LaShawn Ford, who wants the state to cut history classes completely from the curriculum because they're not fair. Pretty amazing. We're going to talk
speechless. Oh my gosh.
We're going to talk to Mike Gonzalez about this. He's one of the education experts, and he's written numerous books, and he's got one out now on the plot to change America, but he works for the Heritage Foundation. Yeah. We're going to get Mike Gonzalez in here about 8:22.
That was a bold ask, and it wasn't just this guy. There was a press conference with multiple people.
Wow.
Pushing for this.
To just eliminate history classes.
Until they can agree upon a curriculum that's less racist, basically, is what they said.
Like one that doesn't mention the founding, how America was founded or how it's progressed through the, you got to revise history before you tell kids about it.
To a point where they approve of it. I'm not sure how that works.
Whoever they happen to be, right? that's kind of where we are.
What world do I live in? What in the world is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
could you imagine?
If I don't laugh, I'll cry because this is just insane.
Could you imagine taking out the word history and putting math? Like, let's revise math until we find a way that we want to do it. Like, we find the answers we want. Like, that's not
just
like
do away
two
with
plus
it.
Two
not
equals
how it
four.
Works.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Like, history is history. It just is what it is. It's not philosophy. It's
and
not...
teaching that that happened doesn't say that you're making it okay or right. excusing it. It's this is how right. it's happened. Look how far we've come. Look what we've learned, what changes we've made mm-hmm. because of that.
Stunning.
It is just baffling
it's
to
unbelievable.
Me.
It's unbelievable.
Almost as baffling as shutting down all the schools in St. Louis County, but we're going to get to that as well. Right now, let me get to my guest, please. Former Missouri Senator Jim Talanta on the phone with us this morning, bipartisanpolicycenter.org, the website he's doing some work for now. Jim, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine.
Any thoughts on revising history? Canceling history classes?
Yeah, well, listen, when you, I think it's hard for us to come to grips with the revolutionary impulse, if you will, that motivates I wouldn't say a big percentage of people in the country, but people who have acquired, you know, positions of influence in institutions. And, you know, if you think the country is fundamentally illegitimate, that the institutions in history of the country were designed, you know, to support the slave power, for example, or the Marxist thought, you know, designed to support capitalist exploitation, then it's not a very big step to say we just ought to stop telling people about it. And then after that, let's indoctrinate people in what we want them to know, which may or may not bear any relationship to history. So,
yeah.
You know, ideas have consequences. And these are the consequences of this set of ideas.
Well, I think that's a perfect point. Speaking of people who view themselves as revolutionaries, go to cut 19, please.
What I really had was just a desire to see change in my community. So thinking that I would win or not, like, that wasn't even on the forefront of my brain. It was just go another day to help bring home needs, what our community needs. Make sure that those needs are met.
Yeah, that is Cori Bush, who, of course, is now the Democratic nominee in the 1st Congressional District and, for all accounts and purposes, the next congressman from the 1st Congressional District. Jim, no bigger upset in the political spectrum in the country yesterday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, my concern is what this is doing and will do in the future to more mainstream Democrats. I mean, Lacey Clay lost, Elliot Engel lost in New York City, and AOC won in a walk. And I'm concerned that the message being received by people like Chuck Schumer and that is, you know what, we have to go along with this agenda or we could get beat. And it's a dangerous moment we're in right now. I mean, the pandemic has sort of alienated people's perception of reality. And it's, as I said, I'm concerned. I mean, I normally I'm not. I have a tremendous underlying confidence about the country and certainly in the American people, but it's a strange moment right now.
Well, you know, the strange is one way of looking at it. I understand the frustration that's out there, and I'm 100% in favor of the electorate making these decisions. But I mean, quite frankly, you know, I go back to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez making the statement that in any other country, she and Joe Biden would be in different parties. And now you've got Cori Bush beating longtime, without a doubt, very progressive and left-leaning Lacey Clay, who clearly wasn't progressive and left-leaning enough for the new wing of the Democratic Party. And I have to think to myself, and I know you know a lot of people you would consider moderate Democrats, they've got to be a little uncomfortable with where this thing's going.
Yeah, I see. I'm sure they are. I'm just concerned that in this particular moment, what would normally be the political reaction to this, you know, may not occur. Because it's hard for me to describe this exactly. But I just think that right now people are not necessarily, you know, connecting as well as they normally would to the implications of something like this. And I, you know, I I'm a politician. I know that, you know, I think these people are going to be concerned about what could happen to them in primaries and they could get pushed because you're right. I mean, there's no more certifiable progressive than Lacey Clay.
No.
I mean, it's impossible to say he's not, and yet he lost. So really what is the difference is, when the new nominee talks about change in the community, she's talking about tearing down basic institutions. And things are being proposed now, like changes in the Supreme Court, that, you know, that I think normally you would never even propose because the American people would react so negatively. Now we'll see what happens. And I continue to be basically optimistic, but I'm a little bit worried that this is a dangerous time and we got to get past it. And I hope we do.
Let me get your political analysis on the second congressional district. You know, St. Louis County has been purple, if not blue, for a number of years now. We have an elected Gene McNary was the last county executive in the late 80s who was a Republican. No Republicans had any luck getting elected to that position since then. County council has pretty much been dominated 4-3 or 5-2 by Democrats for many years. There's no doubt about that. And yet a big chunk of the second congressional district, Ann Wagner's district, resides in St. Louis County. She had a close election last time. And now she's gonna face a serious challenge this time, I think.
Well, right. I have a lot of confidence in Ann Wagner, and I think she's gonna do fine. But you know, as I said, it's an unusual moment. It's very unpredictable, and so one's normal. I guess I'm not expressing this real well. I mean, normally, yeah, I've been around politics a long time. I'd say, you know, 1 and 1 equals 2, and I'm just not so sure now. Whether that's the case. I mean, we're not going to have, we might not have debates. We're not going to have conventions. And it's a really unusual type moment. We're not going to have rallies, evidently. And I don't know the effect that this is going to have. We're going to have a lot more vote by mail. I'm not as opposed to vote by mail as some people are, but all at once in so many places. You know, we'll see. I can't sit here and tell you that I feel as confident as I normally do. And I'm not talking about one party winning or the other party. I'm talking about the institutions of the country continuing, you know, the norm of it.
Right.
I'm concerned about it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that completely. You know, Tuesday, Kim Gardner won. Yesterday, she held a news conference. And I've been a loud critic of how she's handled her job as prosecutor, as so many other people have, including and leading up to the president of the United States, because of the murder rate that's gone on here and the way she's treated some cases differently than others and the way she treated the McCloskeys for defending their property. This is what she said about that, Jim, yesterday during this news conference. Go to cut 25, please.
From the higher ups of the president, Donald Trump, who basically told the people of the city of St. Louis, I'm going to eject myself to usurp the will of the voters. I'm going to eject myself and how a prosecutor looks at criminal activity in their jurisdiction. I'm going to eject myself from Mr. President Donald Trump to Senator Josh Hawley to U.S. Attorney William Barr to Attorney General Eric Schmidt, as well as Governor Parsons. I'm going to tell people how the city of St. Louis and what they should do and who they should support and what they want in terms of reforming a system we all know has failed each and every one of us.
Well, I would say a failure is when you have 160 plus murders so far at this point in the year, and you've only prosecuted about 20% of them or filed charges. Instead, she wants to point the blame at people who've been critical of her lack of prosecutions.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I said before. I mean, we have in a number of cities elected people who think it is within their discretion not to enforce the law.
Yeah.
And it's not. Now, I think there's... I don't think there's a support among a majority of city voters for that. Okay. But I think they're playing the political system in such a way that they end up getting elected anyway by winning primaries and then relying on party loyalty to win the general elections. Okay. So I think this will correct. I'm not concerned about long term unless this produces a result in the short term that really screws up the institutions of the country.
Yes.
And so when I hear people talking about packing the Supreme Court, for example, and maybe I should get specific, that's the sort of thing that concerns me. or forcing, you know, packing the Supreme Court and then passing a law admitting the District of Columbia is a state, which is unconstitutional, but hoping that you'll pack the Supreme Court and then they'll say it's constitutional. Now we're headed towards, you know, banana republic type status. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the people are going to go there. But it's a strange moment, and it's one of these situations, and I think the pandemic is responsible for this, where I just don't know that people will focus the way they normally would.
Jim Talent, what do you say about the Medicaid expansion yesterday? Because, you know, I looked at this, and just like a presidential election, Medicaid expansion failed in every county in Missouri just about except the population centers. And that's what passed it solely. And everywhere else, it failed.
Yeah, well, look, on the, I used to say when this question would come up about Medicaid expansion, and I voted for certain Medicaid expansions a number of times when I was in the Congress. I said, look, it's not the worst way of providing health care for the poor, but it's not a good way. I mean, it's a kind of thing that you might do while you're trying to fix the system so that you do something that will really work. Because study after study has shown, you know, the outcomes for the people who are on Medicaid are not good. I mean, the health outcomes, right? So that's a problem. The other problem is that these programs are eating up the state budget. And there are other things the state has to do. I mean, education being one. Infrastructure being, I mean, there's a whole lot of things we have to do. We have to come to grips with this. And so just sort of expanding it, pursuing a policy that is at best, you know, a bad alternative, an unpalatable alternative, is really not the way to go for the future. And again, the failure of the system to respond to this in an intelligent way over time is a real problem. So I don't, you know, expansion of Medicaid, I mean, that we've done that before. Okay, we've done that. Now, how are we going to deal with the financial consequences of that? And how are we going to deal with the fact that, you know, this is not addressing the underlying issues?
Yeah,
does
I
that
see.
Make any sense? I mean, it's the kind of, it's like if it's we said, okay, we're going to do this in the short term, right, at best, and a very, very expensive one. And you know, we're eating up the state's budget with this. That's what they were telling us is, look, we don't have the money. And people are not going to want the tax increases. So, yeah, I didn't vote for it.
Yeah, I didn't vote for it either. But clearly it passed by 6%, and there's no joy in Mudville, I tell you. Jim, got to run. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
As always.
Always appreciate your political and analysis and expertise on these issues. The governor laid it out yesterday. Here's what's going to happen. You heard it here first. They're going to go back to Jeff City. They're going to make deep cuts in education and everything nobody wants cuts in. And then the populace is going to scream. And then they're going to come back at you on the ballot with tax increases because they have to because of the Hancock Amendment. So you will then get to go vote on whether or not you want to raise taxes to support Medicaid expansion. And if you don't, then you have to live with fewer services and everything else because we balance our budget in Missouri. It's that simple. It's that simple. Just get ready for it. And don't whine and moan if you didn't turn out to vote Tuesday. Because there was not great voter turnout on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. A minority of the people made this decision for this state, and it's going to be a costly one. Can I just tell you that? Hey, by the way, Kim Gardner is not going to be happy about this at all. At 1:30 today, the U.S. Attorney Jeff Jensen is holding a news conference regarding Operation Legend. Remember that? The crackdown, the federal crackdown in cities with major crime problems, mm-hmm. because the local prosecuting attorneys and mayors won't deal with it. The feds are having to step in. And it's named after that little boy that got murdered in his house over in Kansas City. Legend Talaferro was his name. So there's going to be a major announcement about this afternoon at 1:30. We'll have the latest on it for you tomorrow morning. Maybe you'll hear about it today on the Annie Fry Show if the news gets out that quickly. Something to hear. I tell you what, we'll talk to Stacy on the right when we come back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Because it's all of our problem. If we aren't working together, civic, business, and the government, to solve the ills of our city, then it's all for naught. But with Black women at the table, we lead from a different place. Yeah. We lead from a place that, because what I always say is, if you solve for the problems of a Black woman, you solve everybody's problems.
Shout the battle cry. You never stop me. I'm a warrior.
Stacy on the right joining us this morning. And Stacy, that was, of course, Tashara Jones speaking at the news conference yesterday with Kim Gardner and Cori Bush. How are you?
Mark, I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear that. I am happy that you're with us this morning. What was your reaction to their news conference yesterday? I didn't know they were running as a slate, but apparently they were.
Well, I did get mailers, not from them, but from other, like a group mailer that had Sam Page and all of the Democrats on it. And I got a couple of those right before the election. And I thought it was interesting that they present themselves as like a unity ticket, a group of people running and running on all of the same failed ideas. And they never run on, look what we've accomplished. They never have a list of things that they've done to justify being voted for again. But their constituents don't demand that, Mark. So they're not looking for people to elect who've actually accomplished something. They're looking for people who have grievances, who are willing to talk about them incessantly, and really just a lot of talk. And so I can understand the emotion that I heard in her voice when she talks about, you know, solving problems. And I'm not sure if being a Black woman is central to being a problem solver. I believe that there are many Black women who are excellent problem solvers, but it's not the main reason why you would be one. The main reason to elect someone is not their ethnic background or their emotional level. It's if that person has accomplishments that you can point to that give you a certain level of confidence that, hey, you know, this person can do the job. I just want to point out a couple of things, Mark, because I think it's important to get this out there into people's thought processes. When talking about Cori Bush and her win and the end of the Lacey Clay dynasty, the Clay dynasty,
right.
I am glad to see that end. But I just want to point out that the median income for a family of four in America is $69,000+. The median income for household income for Missouri Congressional District 1 is $46,850. A fully 20% of the people who live in Missouri Congressional District 1 are living below the poverty line, according to census data from 2010. And I could go on with other statistics from that district, but just using those two metrics, I would say that Cori Bush has her work cut out for her. And I sincerely wish her the best, because I would love to see Congressional District 1 have the same kind of success that Congressional District 2 and 3 are currently experiencing. But what I don't want to see is another elected politician who says to us that what we have to do is focus on the color of our skin or other grievances in order to solve problems. We don't solve problems by pointing out the things about us that are irrelevant. We solve problems by sitting down at the table and discussing what the problems are and what the solutions are. Yeah. And if Cori Bush is there to become a fifth member of the squad that is currently pulling America down by the arms, then she's not going to solve anything. And I'm just here to call it. This time next year, Missouri Congressional District 1, will your median household income be higher? Will there be fewer people in poverty under Cori Bush? Answer that question.
Yeah.
That's my question for her.
We'll look at that a year from now, although I think I know the answer already. You know, the squad, what do you think the implication is of that win, though? Is that a reflection of, do you think, what we're going to see in November, or just a microcosm of the first congressional district?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of things are at play. First of all, she beat him by a few thousand votes. So it wasn't like people didn't come out and vote for Lacey Clay.
Right.
It's that she was a little more organized than he was. And she knit together a coalition that consists of some very angry people. Mark, the Bernie bros, they're very angry. They haven't had their candidate win. They feel like he's been pushed out. And so they got together and organized and found someone who's a radical like him and elected her.
Right.
So, it's a lot of things at play. I don't think, like I saw KMOV is already calling the election saying that Governor Parsons can't win. Here's me. I'll have another announcement. Governor Parsons, if you keep acting like St. Louis County isn't a part of Missouri and we don't need your help as our elected Republican leader, then you might be in trouble in November. But if you come out and campaign here and treat us like we're a part of Missouri and like we are a part of the area that you govern, you will win in November, because Missouri's going to go for Trump. And if it goes for Trump and people remember Governor Parson because he actually did something for us and protected us from Sam Page, then he'll be elected too. But anybody on that ballot on the Republican side who acts like they don't know President Trump or that they don't know people who live in St. Louis County is going to lose. So if you're listening to this right now and you have the governor's ear, tell him I said so, not because I'm important, because I'm a voter. I'm a mom. I live in the suburbs of the city of St. Louis, and I don't feel like Governor Parson is paying attention to what we're going through.
To what's so going on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a great point. And, you know, I talked to a state legislator the other day who I won't name, but who said that that they have gone to the governor's office and said, but please step in here. Do something. Institute some emergency order where you can regain control of what's going on in St. Louis County. The governor's not done that yet.
So Governor Hogan of Maryland, I believe, he actually stepped in and prevented the public schools from shutting down the private schools. Because the issue here, there's an investigative reporter. I retweeted him. You can find it at Stacey on the Right on Twitter. Read his article. He did a Twitter thread about how it's funding. School districts are worried that their numbers are down. They have people who normally every year they know how many kids are going to show up as new kindergartners. And they know they can project how many new students they're going to have. Well, the numbers are way down. Parents are not bringing their kids back to public school, especially after the announcement that they're going to be all virtual.
Right.
So they don't want the private schools open 5 days a week taking those kids, because that takes down the amount of money they get from the federal government. So this is half about ending President Trump's run as the president, and it's half about school funding, zero to do with how we actually take care of our kids. So, you know, Governor Parson, we need your help. Sam Page is pressuring private schools not to open because the public schools have announced that they're not opening. Can you believe he would have the audacity to send letters to my daughter's school to say she can't go to school for 5 days a week because public schools aren't going?
Right.
Sam Page shouldn't have that kind of power. He should not be able to tell my household whether my daughter can go to school in her building because she's not in public school. We're paying for it, but she's not there. So, you know, somebody's got to step in and help us, or people aren't going to get elected.
Stacey, I love it. And thank you for making that perfect point on what's going on here. There's far too much influence from the teachers' unions on these decisions as well. So, listen, yeah. Keep up the great work. Love seeing you on Fox and Friends and these other places.
Oh, thanks, Mark. It's great to talk to you today.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon. Stacey Washington there, stacyontheright.com. Boy, love that point mm-hmm. about what's going on here. Of course, they don't want you to have an option to take your tuition money and take the student, that is, and move them into a private school education. They don't want you to have that option because the public schools are going to lose money. 314-241-9797. We're going to talk to Tom Ackerman coming up. There's some new dispute out there over how the Cardinals got COVID.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that and more. Still ahead on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So, have you guys been watching any, have you watched really any sports so far? I know there's golf coming up.
I have been watching some baseball games. I haven't seen any baseball, but I have watched some golf. I tried to watch the hockey game, but I don't have all the fancy schmancy cable stuff. So, I saw a preview for about 5 minutes, and then that was it. So, the golf's the only thing I can get right now.
I've been listening to baseball, and yeah.
I have listened to a couple of games just to hear John Rooney call the games and Shannon. I haven't watched it even once. I would never watch the NBA to begin with. And when the NFL gets started, whenever they do, I have no intention. I have just no desire to watch it. I've lost interest in it. It used to be a nice distraction to what's going on until they had to drag it into the political realm. Everything has got to have some mm-hmm. some statement these days.
Yeah.
The WNBA, like I would never watch the WNBA. Have you ever watched it?
No, but I don't care about basketball. I'll still watch football. I just won't watch the anthem part.
That's what I was like. I'm just anything.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start late.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have it on from the very beginning. Make sure that I know the game's already started, and then I can try to, in my la-la land, pretend that nothing happened beforehand and they're just playing a game.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can do that because I want to because I enjoy sports and I want to watch them. So I have to make up in my head to make it watchable.
Well, here's where it is. And this kind of speaks to the challenge that the owners have. And you know, I'm not defending what the Cardinals have done by allowing the players to wear BLM T-shirts and all that mm-hmm. Garbage. As Mozeliak pointed out, they have a diversity of opinions. They wanted to let the team get together and decide how they were going to present that, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. He's playing the politically correct card and not stating his opinion, I assume, because he doesn't want to be divisive about it. Well, it just so happens that the owner, the majority owner, co-owner of the Atlanta Dream WNBA team is none other than current United States Senator Kelly Loeffler. Her job as a United States Senator is to express her political opinion on issues.
Yeah.
And when she did, the WNBA lost its collective mind, and they're now going into games in practice wearing T-shirts with the name of her opponent on them because she dared to tell the truth about BLM. I'll let you listen to it. This is Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler, Cut 16.
There's a big difference between the statement, Black Lives Matter. Of course, the life of every African American matters. We have to root out racism where it exists. But the political organization, Black Lives Matters, is very different. It has Marxist foundations, and it's important that people understand what their goals are, because sports should be about unifying. Look, I grew up playing sports. All of us around the country wanted our sports during the pandemic They have the power to unite us like nothing else. And in fact, mm-hmm. you know, this is the opportunity. But this political platform, Black Lives Matter, is funded through Act Blue, which raises money for liberal organizations and Democrats. It has the objectives of defunding the police, of defunding the military, mm-hmm. of destroying the nuclear family. It's anti-Semitic. It promotes violence in our cities. And I think it's very important that Americans know this.
So having that very reasonable point of view and actually expressing it has now got WNBA players wearing T-shirts for her opponent. And some people are demanding that she should sell the team.
Hmm. Well, you can't do that. And I mean, as far as the owners go, like with the Cardinals and stuff, you've got to they're in it to make money.
Sure.
So you've
got
to go with the political climate, too.
I'm not criticizing. I mean, completely for it. I am criticizing them for not having consistent policies. Can't have a cross on the mound, but you could have a BLM sign on the mound. Those are the things they need to address.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. Tell you what, next hour, Tom Ackerman is going to be in here, and we'll talk to Mike Gonzalez from Heritage.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.